Good morning.
Good morning. May it please the court, Doug Burden for Appellant Safari Club International, Safari Club International Foundation. Before I start, I wanted to address a question from the last argument by Judge Randolph about Safari Club's comments. I think they were in 2006 or 2007. I drafted those comments, and that statement was incorrect. The polar bear can be imported under the ESA because it is only a threatened species, and it was on the Appendix 2 of CITES, and Section 1538C of the ESA says that those species are presumed, and importation of that kind of species is presumed not to violate the ESA. So I wanted to correct that statement. We certainly figured out our mistake, and when we filed a complaint in 2008, understood that that was not the case. Appellants Hershey and Kreider are also a part of this case. They, along with Safari Club, are challenging the legal determination announced in the polar bear listing rule that with that listing, the imports of polar bears would no longer be permitted under the Marine Mammal Protection Act. A big issue in this case is whether Section 1374C5, it contains a mandatory component.
Apart from importation, once the polar bear was listed under the Endangered Species Act, do you know whether the Fish and Wildlife has given any permits to take a polar bear? Forget about the importation of since that time.
Well, the take provision would only apply to polar bears in Alaska, because the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service does not need to issue a permit for a U.S. citizen to take a polar bear in Canada.
Yeah, do you know whether whether any permits have been issued for Alaska?
I'm not aware of that. I know there are also...
You're not aware one way or the other?
I'm not aware one way or the other. I don't think they have. So I was saying, with Section 1374C5, Congress created a specific mandatory provision that governs the very issue in this
case.
Can
I go back to your answer to Judge Randolph for a minute? A3B, 103A3B, I'm sorry, 101A3B says that, and this applies during the moratorium, which is still in place, right?
Yes.
No permit may be issued for taking of any mammal. So isn't the answer to Judge Randolph's question no? Unless it falls within one of these three exceptions. The Secretary couldn't unless it was imported for scientific, well, this is imported. As I read this section, once this has been listed, that's the end of it, right? There can be no takings in the United States.
That may be correct.
So the answer to Judge Randolph is no.
Based on the reading of the statute, I was okay, not fine. Focused on that.
So go ahead.
A factual question, which I don't have knowledge
okay, well,
of.
Then go ahead.
Let me ask you a legal question to follow up on that. If a United States citizen goes to Canada and shoots a polar bear that is listed as threatened, is that a criminal offense?
No. The take provisions of the ESA only apply within the United States or certain territorial waters.
I thought it said that it applies to individuals who are subject to the jurisdiction of the United States. And the hypothetical I gave you was a United States citizen traveling to Canada to kill a polar bear. Now, that person is subject to the jurisdiction of the United States.
I don't think that's a correct reading of the ESA. The Fish and Wildlife Service has never maintained that U.S. citizens can't go to Canada to take polar bears. They've said that's not covered by the ESA. I mean, that would be a...
I'm talking about the Marine Mammal Protection Act.
They haven't said that that would be a violation of the Marine Mammal Protection Act either.
Would an American go to Canada to shoot a bear if he or she couldn't import it?
For the most part, no. The hunters that want to take a polar bear in Canada, they do so, one, for the experience of the hunt, but certainly most of them would not pay the $50,000 it costs if they can't bring back some kind of symbol of their hunt. Mm-hmm.
So which of your legal arguments here do you think is your strongest?
Well, the first one,
is the first one?
That section 1374C5 is mandatory. It addresses the precise issue in front of this court and before the agency. And it says if certain conditions are met, the service shall grant a permit for the importation of the polar bear. And the service made findings through rulemaking that six populations in Canada satisfy these conditions. And that's what we're talking about. Polar bears hunted in those populations. Polar bears were, the hunters want to bring those bears back. It's a mandatory provision.
But now there's been a listing of the bear now, right?
Yes.
The bear's now listed.
Yes.
So we're under 102B3 says that you can't do it anymore. There's only three exceptions, and that isn't one of them.
Well, section 1374C5 says the service shall grant. So if nothing else, there's a conflict between these statutes, because one, section C5 does not say unless the polar bear is depleted or unless the polar bear is listed. It says you shall permit if these conditions are met. And that's what governs. It was enacted later in time.
Okay. So this is your strongest argument?
Yes.
Okay, fine.
It directly applies to this issue.
Good.
Now the service.
What's your next strongest argument?
Well, I'd like to stick with it.
Fine. I don't mean to distract you from your game plan here. You go ahead.
Now you referenced section 101 and 102 and the fact that there's not an exception for C5, but there doesn't need to be because it is mandatory. And I don't think Congress, when it enacted C5 in 1994, was thinking the polar bear is ever going to be listed as threatened or endangered. It was looking at population numbers that were healthy and recognizing the benefits of hunting and the ability to import. And that's why it set up the specific scheme to govern this issue, and it used mandatory language. And it didn't need to go back to Section 101 and 102 and specifically exempt those provisions. And the other authorities noted by the service in their briefs that are expressly exempted from 101 and 102, they are all discretionary authorities. So to the extent Congress wanted to preserve those arguments, preserve those authorizations, it had to do so expressly. That was not the case with Section 1374. Now, a case that's helpful in this regard is the Supreme Court case of National Association of Home Builders versus Defenders of Wildlife, which is 551 U.S., and the relevant pages are 662 and 663. In that case, there was a statute under the Clean Water Act where if EPA made certain findings about delegating authority to administer the Clean Water Act to states, that the agency shall delegate that authority. And the argument in that case was that the ESA consultation provisions, 7A, created an additional obligation on the EPA before they delegated the authority to the state. And the Supreme Court said that because the Clean Water Act delegation statute was mandatory, it used the same language, shall delegate, because it was mandatory, adding the ESA requirement as a new condition, an additional condition to that statute, would be repealing the Clean Water Act provision and adding a condition that wasn't there. And it's the same situation here. The government says that the shall direct or shall grant the permit language doesn't apply to non-depleted, it only applies to non-depleted polar bears. So they're saying that they added a condition to section C5, which is that the polar bear has to be, can't be depleted. And that's the same situation addressed by the National Association of Home Builders case. And the court said that would be an implied repeal of the more specific statute, which are disfavored. Remember, C5 was enacted after the import ban provisions. And it, like I've been saying, it's very specific to the issue before the court. And two rules of statutory construction inform us if there's a conflict between one statute that says you can import and one statute that says you can't import, you look to which one is more specific and which one was enacted later in time. And that's what we're saying should apply here. My next best argument relates to the idea that even if these import bans apply, that they only apply to polar bears taken after the polar bear was deemed depleted by operation of law or definition. What the service is saying is that the time of the import governs, not the time of the taking. That means it's a bear taken 10 years ago from a healthy, 10 years ago from a population that was healthy at the time. There was no harm to the population. There was this conservation benefits that have been discussed today. If the party tries to import it after the ESA listing and the depletion, they can't import. But a polar bear taken, or say a different marine mammal taken at a time when the population was in trouble, was deemed depleted, but has since recovered.
Look at section 102B3. And the service says that the reason you're not correct is that two of the situations in which importation is prohibited for animals that are pregnant at the time of taking or nursing at the time of taking, those are definitely limited to the time of taking, whereas three, which you're under, is not. It says, which the secretary has not designated, it doesn't say anything about, it's not temporally limited, it just says has not. In fact, it doesn't say had not, it says has not. So what the service is saying is that when Congress wants to limit this to bears taken at a specific time, it knows how to do it in this very section. It didn't do it for the category three, which is what you're under here.
Right, but I think that you indicated a different way that the time of the taking was important. And if you go back to the other import ban.
Oh, no, I'm asking about this one. We'll get to that one in a minute.
Okay. It talks
in fact,
about,
it seems to me, do you agree that you agree that it doesn't your theory doesn't work for 102B3, right?
No.
You agree with that?
I don't agree with that.
You don't agree with that?
Not based on the fact that it didn't use it at the time of taking.
Why? Well, what's your answer to that question? In A and B, it temporally limited, and C, it didn't.
Because I think the import bans, I will say it works better with section 101.
Yes, but let's stick with this one for just a minute, because I need to hear, because it seems to me that if you can't import it under this provision, 102B3, that's the end of your case, because this is an absolute prohibition. It applies regardless of the moratorium. It is unlawful, it starts out saying. So if you can't import it under here, I don't see how you can import it under the provision you prefer.
Well,
can you explain that to me?
Yeah, and I think the two provisions should be read consistently if possible, but I agree if the hunters can't import here, then it doesn't help that they might be able to under the other provision. But it talks about a species taken from an animal taken from a species or population stock, which the secretary has designated as depleted, and the focus is on the taking. It doesn't say you can only take at one point. So the extent this is less clear than section 101, I think the intent here should also be considered in terms of section 101, which focuses on first on taking and talks about such mammal can't be taken, or you can't take the mammal, and you also can't import such mammal. And I think you have to agree the take prohibition can only apply if the species was deemed depleted at the time of the taking. And it's talking about the same kind of species. No further questions. I'll reserve the rest of my time.
All right, we'll give you a minute. Counsel for government.
Morning. In addition to the restrictions in 101A3B and 102B3 on the issue, the first argument that the plaintiffs urge that the government must grant a permit under Section C5 and that those provisions do not apply, I wanted to draw to the court's attention the last provision in C5, which is D, which does specifically state that in the context of trophies taken before 1997, sections 1371 and 1372 do not apply. That strengthens the otherwise strong argument that 101 and 102 do apply to section 1374 C5 just as they apply to all the other sections of 1374.
And that's what subsection of D?
It's 1374C5D.
Right.
It pertains to it's an exemption for import of polar bears taken in Canada before February 18th, 1997. And it states that the secretary shall issue such permits without regard to the provisions of various other paragraphs and section 1371 and 1372. That's in C5, which is that issue here.
Can I ask you about the relationship between 102B3? Do you read that the way I do, that if you can't import it under that, 102B3?
Yes.
If something can't be imported under that, that's the end of the matter. There's no role for 101A3B. Is that right?
Well, I think they're complementary and they have the same effect. Yeah.
Well, what is the difference between them? I honestly can't figure it out. I mean, what could you just explain to me the role these two provisions play in the statute?
Well, 1371 is a moratorium and 1372 is a prohibition, but there is extensive overlap in the two provisions that we're looking at here.
Okay, well,
and they create limited exemptions to, there's a moratorium and then there are exceptions in 1374 that authorize the secretary to issue permits, and then there are limitations in 101 and 102 that pertain specifically to depleted species.
Okay, but what about my very specific question? if you can't import something under 102B3.
You can't import it. That's
period.
Right. That's the
right
end of the story.
Thank you.
Okay, if the court doesn't have any further questions.
I don't.
All right. Thank no. you very much.
Thank you.
I'd like to just address Section 1374 C5D, which is the, I think, commonly referred to as the grandfather clause. This provision in 1994, when it was first enacted.
Wait, what section are you talking about?
I'm sorry. 1374 C5D, which counsel just referred to. It's a broad provision that.
It's a what?
It's a broad provision that allows the importation of polar bears taken anywhere in Canada if they're taken before that date in 1997. That was originally enacted as in the 1994 amendments as a discretionary authority. It was in the first sentence of C5, which said the service may authorize the import of polar bears legally harvested in Canada. Later, Congress took it out of that discretionary provision and changed the date, because originally it was a date of enactment of the 94 amendments, and made it its own subsection. And it was an incredibly broad authorization, and Congress broadly exempted Section 101 and 102, other parts of Section 1374 or Section 104. And I don't think that the fact that Congress wanted to be abundantly clear in that section that nothing applied, all you had to do basically was show that you legally harvested that polar bear in Canada before the operative date, and you would be permitted to import that.
What's
polar
the meaning
bear
of the last sentence in that subparagraph?
And subsection
D.
I don't know. It's very confusing to talk about not needing
a permit
for something that's already
been imported. Right.
The only thing I can think of is if a polar bear is imported before that date and the party takes it out of the country and wants to bring it back into the country, that this would not apply. But other than
How likely is that?
I don't know. Very strange.
All right.
No further questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We'll take the case under advisement.